Today on the John Ankerberg Show, my guest is Lee Strobel, who graduated with a Master of Studies in Law degree from Yale University and became the award-winning legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. An atheist turned Christian, Lee left the Tribune after 14 years and is now a New York Times best-selling author of 20 award-winning books. One day he wondered, does God still do supernatural miracles today? Is there evidence of miracles for skeptics? So he began writing a book called The Case for Miracles. And he did so by first inviting America's foremost skeptic, Michael Shermer, and asked him to build his strongest case against miracles. Then Lee began to dig out evidence responding to Shermer's arguments by interviewing expert scholars, scientists, and doctors in those fields. Lee also commissioned a national scientific survey by the Barna Research Group to ask American adults, have you ever had an experience you can only explain as being a miracle of God? Nearly 2 out of 5 U.S. adults, or 38%, said they had such an experience. This means an astonishing 94,792,000 American adults are convinced God has performed at least one miracle for them personally. Barna also surveyed 1,100 medical doctors who said they were convinced that miracles occur today. Why? Because they had patients who had less than 6 months to live, and after prayer, they were completely healed. Lee also wondered, why does God heal some and not others? To hear Lee's evidence of miracles for skeptics that persuaded him that God's miraculous activities today are both credible and astonishing, join us for this edition of The John Ankerberg Show. Hi, I'm John Ankerberg. Welcome to our program today. I've got a question for you. Do you think that God is still in the miracle business today? I got a fellow on the stage with me. He wrote a book called The Case for Miracles. Most of his life, he was an atheist, a skeptic, hardcore atheist. In fact, he was, when I lived in Chicago, he was the legal editor of the Chicago Tribune, all right? He went to journalism school, then he went on to Yale Law School, got his degree there, came back, and was doing the court cases, murder cases. But Lee, there was a day that the evidence started to come around for Jesus, and you set out to investigate it and the evidence, and you wanted to destroy Christianity, and yet you became a Christian as a result of looking at the evidence. Now, you wrote the book, and we're going to talk about how, we're going to tell you your whole story at the end of this series. You've written a lot of case for books, yeah. And this is the case for miracles. What I want to know is, you became a Christian. A lot of folks out there that are Christians listening to us today. But the fact is, did a little bit of skepticism stick with your Christianity about God's ability to do supernatural miracles in our day?
Yeah.
Talk me over.
Yeah, I actually have a chapter in the book where I interview a theologian who talks about the fact that a lot of churches are embarrassed by the supernatural.
Yeah.
They want to be accepted by everybody and say, I'm just like you, but I'm a Christian. There's no difference. And yet other churches are finding that miracles are still taking place.
Right.
And so it was a miracle that brought me to faith. That is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, an historical miracle that I investigated, became convinced it's true. But then I wondered, well, is God still involved in the world today? Is he still doing miraculous things in our midst today? And that's what launched me on a 2-year project.
And you came to 3 conclusions in writing the book. Tell us what those conclusions were.
Yeah. First conclusion, God is still in the miracle business today.
Interesting.
Number 2, miracles happen a lot more frequently than we think.
We'll prove that in a minute.
And number 3, a lot of miracles are far better documented than skeptics suppose.
Now, let's start first of all with a lot of people that say, hey, aren't you guys smart enough to know about David Hume? And Hume says you can't do miracles. And let's get rid of that one first.
Yeah, David Hume lived, in the 1700s?
1700s,
he was a Scottish philosopher. And
so miracles can't happen.
Exactly. And what happens a lot when you talk to a skeptic, they'll throw up David Hume and say, oh, he disproved miracles hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
But even secular philosophers have found the problems with Hume's argument. In fact, one secular philosopher has written a new book called, and the title of the book is Hume's Abject Failure.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of skepticism, but
yeah.
He's
Hume
wrong.
Defined miracles as a violation of the laws of nature, but
right.
Let's explain why that's wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong because I have an apple here.
Yeah.
And if I were to drop this apple, the law of gravity says it would hit the ground.
Yeah.
But if I drop this apple and you reach in and grab it before it hits the ground, you haven't violated the law of gravity. You haven't, somehow transgressed the law of gravity. You've merely intervened.
Right.
And that's what God does when a miracle takes place. He's not overturning the laws. He created the laws of nature.
Right.
How do we know He created the laws of nature? Well, we can look at what's called the Kalam cosmological argument for the existence of God. Whatever begins to exist has a cause. We now know the universe began to exist. Therefore, there must be a cause behind the universe. Well, what kind of a cause can bring a universe into existence? He must be transcendent because he's apart from creation. He must be eternal because he existed before physical time. He must be immaterial because he existed before physical things took place or existed. He must be smart given the precision of the creation event.
Must be powerful given the
immensity of the creation event. Must be caring because he created a habitat for us. Must be creative because just look at the universe. He must be personal because he had to make a decision to create.
Mm-hmm.
And the scientific principle of Occam's razor said there would just be one creator.
Right.
So that is a description, transcendent, eternal, or timeless.
Powerful, smart.
That's a description of the God of the Bible.
That's
and
right.
So Genesis 1:1, where it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We can trust that He did indeed create the heavens and the earth. And if He did, then of course He can intervene at will in the laws of nature that He Himself created.
Yeah, now you did something really interesting. After coming to those conclusions, you hired a firm to poll Americans about a question. Tell us what the question was and tell me what the answer came back from Americans.
Yeah, a couple of questions. Number one was, do you believe God can still do miracles today? 67%, two-thirds of Americans said yes. Only 15% said no. But the more interesting question I asked was, have you ever had at least one experience in your life that you can only attribute to a miracle of God? And I was shocked that 38% of American adults said, yes, I have had at least one experience. I can't explain it. It must be a miracle of God.
Now, and that's how many people?
Yeah, well, if you extrapolate that means 94,700,000 Americans would have had a miracle in their life. Now, let's pick a number. Let's say 99% of them are wrong. They
right.
think it was a miracle, but it was just a big coincidence. So let's just, off the top, get rid of 99%. That still leaves almost a million miracles taking place just in the United States.
Yeah. So miracles are a little bit more common than people think.
Yeah.
All right. Tell us what else you found.
Well, I found that the documentation for miracles is strong. I did find, John, a lot of things that weren't really miracles. So people thought they were miracles and they were explainable by natural means. And that's understandable. Some coincidences are great coincidences. They look miraculous, but they're really not. So the way I tried, the grid I kind of used to determine if a miracle occurred was, do we have solid documentation? Do we have multiple eyewitnesses who have no motive to deceive? Is there no naturalistic explanation possible? And did it take place in the context of prayer?
Yeah.
So I kind of used that grid. And what I found fascinating is that there have been some scientific studies in recent years. For instance, a professor with a PhD from Harvard University, Dr. Candy Gunther Brown from Indiana University, said, oh, I've heard that there is a cluster of miracles taking place in the country of Mozambique.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, I'm going to investigate it. So she sent a team over there, and they went into the remote villages, and they said, bring me your blind and bring me your deaf.
Right.
So they would bring all the people who are deaf or blind or had severe hearing or vision loss. And immediately they tested them scientifically. What is your level of vision? What is your level of hearing? So he got that down. Then immediately after that, they are prayed for in the name of Jesus by people who have a track record of God kind of using them this way. Then immediately after that, they were scientifically tested again. Is there any change? Well, guess what they found? In virtually every of the 24 subjects, in virtually every case, there was improvement after this prayer. In fact, the average improvement in visual acuity was tenfold. There was a woman, by the way, by the name of Martine. When they first encountered her, they measured her. She could not hear the equivalent of a jackhammer next to her. That's how deaf she was. After 10 minutes of prayer in the name of Jesus, she could hear normal conversations.
Yep.
So they were so blown away by this, they said, we need to see if we can replicate this. Well, another place where miracles are clustering is in Brazil. And so they went to Brazil. They did the same experiment. Guess what? They got the same results. So I traveled to Indiana University and I interviewed the professor. And I just want to read to you what she told me about her conclusion. She said, quote, our study shows that something is going on. This is more than just wishful thinking. It's not fakery. It's not fraud. It's not some televangelist trying to get widows to send in their money. It's not a highly charged atmosphere that plays on people's emotions. Something is going on.
Yeah.
And John, I would suggest it's something miraculous.
Yeah, I want you to talk about a little bit about clusters of miracles breaking out around the world. But I want to put in here the fact that about 4 years ago, we had a fellow that came by here and he persuaded me that there were 7,140 languages in the world, and at that time, 4,000 languages had no Bible in their language. And then the Wycliffe and all of the Bible translators, as they were translating the Bible so that people could hear the Word of God, they found out they couldn't print it because the people couldn't read their own language, so they had to make audio recordings. And the fellow that came by, Morgan Jackson from Faith Comes by Hearing, he persuaded us that we would raise money to give audio Bibles to people that couldn't read the Bible in any other way. So our audience has provided audio Bibles to reach 9,011,305 people in listening groups in 45 countries in 251 languages. He's come back and told us, we'd like to tell the people that give money to this cause what their money went to.
They can
tell us the country they want it to go to. What we have heard back is that when people are in a group and they're listening to Jesus, Jesus, he is healing a man that is crippled, can't walk. He says, get up and walk. And the guy gets up and walk. And there's a crippled in the back. And the guy says, Jesus, would you heal me? And all of a sudden, he's healed. Somebody's blind. Would you heal me? Jesus heals the blind person. It's been very interesting that when they hear the Word of God and they hear Jesus speaking in their own language for the very first time in their life, they get right into the story and they hear this. And I've been amazed at how many miracle stories come out of this. Now, I attribute this to, Lee, the fact is that in these countries, they have never heard about Jesus.
Yes.
There used to be, when we started this, there was 2.8 billion people in the world that didn't even know who Jesus was. Mm. It's down to about 1.5 billion people that still do not know who Jesus is. You go on the street and you say, hey, tell me about Jesus. I'm sorry, sir, I don't know anything about him. Have you ever seen a Bible? No, I don't know what it is. So we've provided these audio Bibles and we're finding out in Africa, down in Uganda, there was fighting going on down there in the Sudan, bloodbath, and they were fleeing to Uganda, and the United Nations opened up a camp, all right? And so we were gonna give one audio Bible per 100 people. The camp in 1 year grew to 100,000, so we sent them more. The next year, it grew to 200,000 people, so we sent them more. The next year it went to 300,000. Now it's come down to about 270,000, unless there's some things that are happening that I don't know about. We've provided one per 100 people. Mm. And now we just heard that people have been cooped up because of COVID into their houses. So people that have been drunkards and drug addicts and alcoholics in their own homes have had to been, they've been confined to their own homes. And the mothers have been playing these audio Bibles and revival has broken out. And people have been healed, and all kinds of things are happening in Uganda right now as a result of them listening to the Word of God. do you find that there are clusters of miracles that are taking place in different parts of the world that nobody knows about?
Absolutely. First of all, I think that is so awesome, that program. I'm going to talk to Leslie. We want to get behind what you're doing because, as you say, in so many of these areas where the gospel is just beginning to break in, Mozambique, Brazil, certain parts of Asia, China, and so forth, a lot of people can't read even their own language, but to hear it audio is awesome. And yes, there are clusters. And I think the reason is, as the gospel is breaking in for the first time, miracles point people toward God like nothing else.
Yeah.
And it has been estimated that up to 90% of the growth of the church in China is because people themselves or they know someone who's been supernaturally healed.
Yeah.
So miracles are fueling the growth of the church in these areas. So I don't think miracles are necessarily evenly distributed around planet Earth.
No.
I think where the gospel's breaking in, that's where we see these clusters.
Let's talk about our buddy Tom Doyle, okay?
Yes.
And in the Muslim world, I find this very interesting because there's 45 Muslim nations, and I got to be careful how I say this because it goes all over the world, this program. But I'm just saying this, that Jesus cares about the Muslim people.
Yeah.
And probably 40% of them, even those that are going around the Kaaba, as they go around it counterclockwise, the fact is that they see Jesus saying, I love you. I
yeah.
died for you. I want you to follow me.
Yeah.
And they don't even know who he is.
Yes.
There are ads in Muslim newspapers in these states saying, if you've seen the man in the white coat saying that he loves you, call us. And these people, Jesus points them to a person. He gives them a picture of a person that's going to be in certain clothes
yes.
and in certain marketplace in a certain time. And he says, meet that person there. He'll tell you all about me.
See, that's, John, that's what I love about this. I have an interview, by the way, with Tom Doyle, who's the expert on this
right.
in my book, Case for Miracles. But what I love about it is what you just said, is that the trend is not that people go to sleep, they have a dream about Jesus, and they become a Christian. It's that in this dream, Jesus points them towards someone. Like, for instance, there was a woman, a Muslim woman, in a Muslim country I won't name, and she had one of these dreams. And in this dream, Jesus appeared to her. She was drawn to him. She heard about his grace. It was great news to her, his love. She felt it. And she said, tell me more. And he said, my friend will tell you. She said, who's your friend? And
mm-hmm.
he pointed to the guy that she hadn't noticed next to him.
Yeah.
And the next day, she goes to the crowded marketplace, and she sees the man from her dream.
Exactly.
And she goes up, say, you are my dream. And the guy said, did you have a dream about Jesus? And she said, yes. Well, he was a missionary. And he shared from her from the scriptures. So that's a corroboration, John, that I think is important, that anybody can say, oh, I had a dream about such and such. But when you have that external corroboration, that pointing to something that you then personally experience, and this is the pattern time after time after time, that gives it a special credibility that I just find fascinating.
Yeah. I'll be careful how I say this, but here in America, a lot of times we go to church, we park our car, we get into our Sunday school class, we go into the main service, we sing the songs in the hymnal, we hear the pastor preach, and basically we go home. We didn't expect anything
yeah.
to happen, and nothing did happen that either challenged our life. We didn't believe in this supernatural God.
Yeah.
And I'm beginning to wonder why it is that we don't expect God to do much.
Yeah.
I'm learning to pray for people that are in the hospital or people that are sick and saying, I don't know if God's going to heal you or not, but the fact is, let me pray for you.
Yeah.
And I've seen God do things that I never expected him to do, but I expect God, he can do anything he wants to do.
Yeah.
And I hope that our churches would start to realize that the supernatural God comes to every one of our church services. The book of Revelation says Jesus is there. He's looking at our people. And the fact is, he sees how we worship. Do we really worship him with all of our heart? And, you know, I feel in this program, we need to challenge our Christian people. Some of our Christian kids are going to school. And the fact is that they're going to schools that don't believe the Word of God. They've got professors that are really actually against Christianity. And the moms and dads are afraid. They need to pray for their own kids.
Yeah.
They need to pray for their jobs. They
yeah.
need. There's some people that are out of work right now. There are some people that are fighting COVID right now. There's all kinds of things, bankruptcy and so on, that they're fighting. And I'm just saying, we got to come to the Lord, and we got to expect that He can do things that we can't do.
Yeah.
And then along with that, Lee, the fact is there are people that out there that say, you know, I've been a Christian all my life, but I don't seem to know God personally. Mm. And I think there's a lot of people that have gone to church, but they have never done what you did in John 1:12. As many as receive Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. You got to believe and receive.
Right.
Talk about that and then invite them to come to the Lord by saying a prayer.
Yeah, I remember after a two-year investigation of the miracle of the resurrection and concluding that the evidence is so strong that Jesus did return from the dead and thus prove He is who He claimed to be, the Son of God. And then I thought, okay, am I done? Is that it? I had the head knowledge, and I read John 1:12, and I noticed the verbs, active verbs, form an equation of what it means to become a Christian. Believe plus receive equals become. So it's not based on good deeds. It's based on believing that Jesus died for you. He offers forgiveness as a free gift. And then we have to receive that gift, and then we become a child of God.
Right.
And so if you hear that and you go, I don't think I've done that. You know, the Bible says these things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. God doesn't want you sitting on pins and needles. Where do I stand with God? Am I okay? You know, am I in or am I out? Am I going to heaven or not? No, you can know for a fact. How can you know? Because was there a point in time where you prayed to receive this free gift of forgiveness and eternal life? And if you don't know that time, why not make it now? Just pray with me. Just say, Jesus, save me. Save me. I know You came to seek and save the lost. I believe that You are the Son of God, but I know I'm still lost. So Jesus, right now, in an attitude of repentance and faith, I confess my sin, and I receive Your free gift of grace. Thank You for coming into my life. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit coming into me to guide me, to lead me, to encourage me, to empower me. And thank You for making me Your child, knowing that someday we'll spend eternity together. Amen. If you pray that prayer, then you know with confidence that Jesus has entered into your life, that you will spend eternity with Him. And in this world, He will be with you, He will encourage you, He will strengthen you, He will guide you in ways that you've never experienced before.
Yep. Folks, I'm so glad that you joined us today to encourage you that there's a God who loves you, but He can do anything that He wants to do. And maybe you've forgotten that and you've stopped asking Him to help you in your life. I hope that this program has encouraged you. And if you've prayed and asked Jesus to come into your life, then look up some of these verses that we've been talking about and get into your Bible and realize there's a lot more verses there that He loves you and He cares for you and He did come into your life and He's going to be there forever, and when you die, He's going to take you to heaven.
You are listening to the John Ankerberg Show. If you would like to have today's show, it's available on audio, CD, or MP3 by calling our toll-free number at 1-800-805-3030 and just ask for offer R235. This series is also available for podcast. Just go to our website at johnankerberg.org and click on podcast.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of the John Ankerberg Show. For more information about today's series, please contact us at 1-800-805-3030 or visit us online at jashow.org. That's jashow.org.